A61, number 3A.
I don't believe Mrs. Eddy used models, though, as a verb in checking through the concordance, did she?
We found a noun.
She uses it as a verb?
No, she used it as a noun, I believe.
She uses it also as a noun, then?
I didn't find that she used it as a verb.
Oh.
In doing the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that may be, yeah.
Mine forms its own models, but I don't believe she used it. Maybe someone found it differently.
Well...
I'm not picky, I just was wondering.
Yes. You see, that's the point, that you can say elaborate, you see, through bringing new terms, huh? Just as we have done, can we hear the tonality of something clearer by bringing in new terms? Huh? For instance, right on the page 1, huh, we have that mind will model our thought, huh, that will model our desires. Huh?
Isn't molds there?
And molds also. Huh? You can bring in molds. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, molds is a very, very good one, right on the first page. Huh? That mind molds our thought, our desires, huh? Before they take form. Yes?
Getting back to form as a verb, it's a transitive verb, and a transitive verb has an object, and doesn't that bring in that mind, subject and object one, that mind has an object, and it's the same as the subject?
Yes, it can. You see, if you have mind creates as a verb, then you can ask, what does it create? The object can be then anything, you see? And we see that what it creates are ideas, huh? In a general term. Which ideas? Any idea, huh? Anything that is created. So mind only gives you the sense of the impelling power that is there as a creative sense, huh? What comes out of it is something quite different. Yeah. We go to the next one. What is the next idea?
Cause.
Huh? That's one of the big ones. Huh? And what can we take as secondary idea there? What do you have there? Causative, origin, first cause, huh? Author, source, huh? Yes. Can you hear that it would have been quite enough for a spiritual tone just to say mind is the cause of all? And by saying it's a cause, you could have taken the Theosaurus, what you call Theosaurus dictionary, huh? Or Roger's, huh? And just look up all the synonymous terms in it. Huh? It's a wonderful book for elaborating your list of ideas, just to feel what does cause mean. Well, if you have cause, you have naturally origin. You can't have a cause that is not origin. Can you hear that? An origin, what kind of origin do we have? Well, an author is an originator. A source is an origin, is a cause. It's just explaining always the same thing with different terms. But it helps. If we have only perhaps cause at the beginning, you may not have a sense that this implies also all the other shades of causation. Hmm? So, it's helpful, and I tell you why it is helpful. It's helpful because it frees from words. By having more words, it frees from words. Because then you are not saying, well, if I don't find the term cause in the text, then I don't know what it is. But you say, oh, it doesn't really matter if it says cause, or if it says origin, or if it says source, or if it says author, or if it says the first cause or the beginning, I know it's that tone of mind. And the moment you read the Bible, and these terms don't appear, but other illustrations appear which indicate the cause, you catch the tone. And so it is in everyday experience. Not every experience is spelled out in terms. It's spelled out in experiences, in illustrations, in the happenings. That's a language just as the English language, happenings, experiences. And you have to see that these happenings have a tonality of reality. Where, what are they? Are they mind? Are they spirit? Are they soul? Are they principle? And the more we learn that, the more we learn the spiritual language and not the English language. All right, I will come back to it and back to it. So here, all right, let's go to the next one. Is first, and on the first you have beginning, yeah. Mind, she says, is the first. Start with mind. You could also say start. Put there, start with mind, go out from mind. Can you hear? It's not necessary that she says mind is the first. It must be first eternally. We also can say, I start with mind. I say the very same thing. Mind is at the beginning of everything. I go out from mind. Anyway, that's the same thing. It just says, it always says, unless you don't start with mind, unless you don't have mind as the very first conceptual image, you have started wrongly. You can't start with spirit, because spirit already demands that you can distinguish between idea and illusion, so you can't start with spirit. You have to start with mind. You see? Can you hear? No matter what the term is, and exercise that, culture that, to have the tone of it, but use all kinds of words, all kinds of experience. Yes? But you tell me if you want to know something more, or if I don't make myself plain. So, mind is the first.
Marx, could you say, does this sum it up correctly, that you can't have an effect without a cause, and every real cause has an effect?
Yeah.
For mind is the cause, and we are the effect.
Mind is the cause. The rest is not quite correct. Yeah. The effect is always idea, not we. Yeah. Because we are out. In the divine being, there is no we. Yeah. But effect will be truth. The form that will come out, the effect will be truth. Yes. So everything starts with the cause, and that is mind. Yeah.
Could we add foremost?
Foremost. What do you think?
No.
Mind is foremost.
Mind is first.
Yeah, it's more than foremost. It's really all, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Good.
What about prime?
Prime. You can say primal. Huh? Mm. Mind is primal. Yes. It's the primeval. Huh? Yes. It's the prime cause. Yeah, there are hundreds of them. If I would know the English language a bit better than I do, I would give you a whole list. But Roger and the other one will tell you quite a bit more. All right. We have, as the next one, basis. All right. Now, before we go further, let's see up to now if we can listen to the tonality of it. See, what we said we want to do this whole week is nothing else but terminology, to put our terms straight, to know what mind as a term means. Not yet what we can do with mind. I bring in here and there a bit practicality, but naturally the textbook is much more than just to define what mind is and spirit is and soul is. The textbook gives afterwards the operational sense of these seven synonymous terms, gives afterwards the dimensional sense of them. We can afterwards structure the seven synonymous terms, but that is only possible and is not speculative when we first have a clean definition of the terms. So let's take this again and just listen does anyone in the class want to show me how this idea flow into each other? Why they are not foreign to each other? Why they are under one category? Is anybody who likes to flow it? All right, I do it, and then later on you get in. Huh? Can you see that we have here how many? Well, we have already nearly 30 terms. Huh? 32, thank you. Already 32 terms. Oh, that's quite a nice number, actually.
Huh? I think it's 36.
Yeah, all right. So we have a lot of terms, huh? Already, which in ordinary language may not mean the same yet. But in spiritual language, we can see that they imply mind, one tone. We can see, all right, Mrs. Eddy says, what is mind? Mind is the creator. So if I have creator, I feel, oh, the creator creates constantly. So the creator creates, makes, produces, he propagates, stimulates, constructs. It's a creative impulsion that's constantly going on. Therefore, it begins to produce as a producer and to build and to institute. It is the parent mind as the creator. That mind that always says, I want to create. I want to produce, I want to bring forth. I'm the parent mind, and as I create, I form everything, I shape everything, I mold everything, I fashion everything, I draw the outlines of everything. I'm that creative, not intelligence, that's too far now. I'm the creative impulsion that does that. Therefore, I am the only cause. I'm causative. It's the only cause that ever goes on. No other cause but mind causes. Therefore, mind is the only origin, the only author, the only source from where everything is created and produced and brought forth. I'm the very first, because I'm the creator, I'm the first, you see. The effect would not be first. So cause is first. It means the same thing. It is first, it's the beginning, it's the starting point, it's a point to go out from. It's the primeval cause, it's the primeval mind, it's the primeval creator. And so it is the basis from which I go out, and I get the creator and cause and origin as my basis. Can you hear that these are spiritually all the same? They are only shades and shadow of the same tone, of that original primeval, I nearly said power, to bring forth. Therefore you get right afterwards, power. That's the next idea.
In going through the flow, is it arranged that way in the textbook?
No. Thank you. Here I must make another note. The order in which they are written here in the compendium is a random order. Therefore, no order, actually. When we wrote the compendiums, we didn't know in which order to put these ideas. We had no indication at that time of ordering the ideas of mind, of structuring the ideas of a synonymous term. It's actually only in the last few years, as you know, we would somehow know a little bit how to structure the ideas of mind. How, I don't want to tell you right now or never finish this week. But at that time, we did not know how to structure the ideas. And therefore, we had to use just our spiritual sense of that time to try to put them into a, let's say, into a sequence that may lead thought perhaps in a logical way. So don't feel that you have to start the way the compendium runs. We could have started with mind is all in all, or we could have started with mind is intelligence. So don't stick to it. Therefore, what we do now is to take this sequence so that we have a common basis to work on. Once we have done that, you can start anywhere, and that we want to show also. So that's a note you can make about the sequence of these ideas. There isn't. How you can structure it. So it burns on my finger. All right? Yes?
I wanted to ask, too, could you say here that mind is the programmer?
You can say that, yes. Okay, yes. You can say there that mind is the programmer. Why is it the programmer? Why would you feel it is the programmer? Now, this is the point, huh? You have to know why. Huh? Why do you feel it's a programmer?
Because the program won't work unless you program into it the first thing first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You won't have any program if you don't start with the first thing in an orderly way. So it's first call.
Yes, yes. What do you need for programming?
A program.
Yeah, yeah. But how do you get the program?
By the programmer.
Yes, yes. I make a note here, and I come back to it, huh? When we have done more. And then you see it exactly, yes, that mind is the programmer. Mm-hmm. All right.
Would it come under forms?
It's more, you see. It's more than that, yes. Mm-hmm. You need more more ideas, yeah. All right. Let's go on and come perhaps back to it. All right. So we had all these ideas up to now. We are more or less all showing the beginning, the basis from which to go. But this is not all what mind is. We go on to the next one,
power.
Power, and you had as secondary
force.
What could you put there also? Would you find other terms that would indicate a power sense of mind?
Energy.
Energy, maybe truth. Yeah. Might, the might of mind, you could have there. Yeah.
Potency.
The potency of truth is usually, Yes. Yeah, we can only see that difference when we have done truth, Then we can see why potency is much more truth than mind, Yeah. All right. Can you see, one actually needs to know bit the tonality of it. All right, so why should now mind be power? What is the from what we have heard up or learned up to now, why is mind power?
Because it is cause?
Yes, Can you have a cause without power?
No.
Can you hear? You see? Cause means that it is power. Because what means cause? Cause means that it leads to an effect, that it brings forth an effect, whatever that effect is. Therefore, it must have, in the cause, must be a power sense in it. Do you feel happy about that? Do you see that? Now, the point is, not so much in this instance that cause is power, but what I want to bring out, can you see that a term like cause is not just conveying one thing. It conveys at once many things. Like here, cause conveys at the same time. Even if you only have the term cause, it conveys beginning. We had before. Cause conveys creator. It's implied in the term. It implies power. Because there is no cause without the power. I wouldn't know a cause that has not a happening bringing forth. Do you see how, though we go to terms, it frees us from terms. Why? And here we come to the great synonymy principle of the language. The synonymy principle in language tells us, really, that one term has not just one single meaning, that it always blends somehow or overlaps somehow with other terms, no matter if they are spelled out or not. If we have a term like, what did we have? Cause. Well, this is a single term, and you would feel a single term has a single meaning. It conveys only one thing, but it doesn't. It conveys a lot of other things too. Actually, it's only cause because it reflects other terms, because it reflects power, because it reflects to be the beginning of something, because it reflects that it brings forth something, that it produces something, that it sets in action something. Can you hear? One term is actually not a term. It's the blending, the overlapping of lots of terms. That's the synonymy principle. And I don't know enough about how languages have come into being, but one of the theory is that way back in the development of mankind, that the first sound that was brought out by human beings is ma. That everything started with ma. That's why a little child all over the world is saying ma, ma. That's mama. Ma, ma. It's apparently the easiest sound to bring forth. Ma. You just open your mouth and what happens? Ma. Ma. And they feel that out of this one ma has developed our whole dictionary of hundreds of thousand words by the synonymy principle. From there came ma. Mother, mater was mother, in the old language, mater, matter, matrix, matrix. Can you hear? It all comes out, and blending, it seems historically, or I don't know what you call it, civilized, in the development of the language, that actually one term through the synonymy principle was building new terms. So that out of a little a stone you throw into the water, you get all these ripples and ripples and ripples and ripples going further and further from an original sound. And this is the is actually the synonym principle that is so fundamental for Christian Science. For Christian Science, fundamental is a symbol called God. Through the synonym principle, you have God as a compound symbol for the seven synonymous terms. Each of the seven synonymous terms through the synonym principle, each one has a lot of ideas, like here, creator, cause, beginning, power. They are all synonymous. See, these ideas are also synonymous. They cannot stand by themselves. They have no meaning by themselves. Cause has no meaning without having within that term the meaning of first and of beginning and of power and of action and of producing and of bringing forth. It would have no meaning. Do you see the synonymy principle that builds up the whole tone of mind little by little through always getting further ripples around the central tone? Yes, Don?
Source, the verb to flow comes to me. It's a flowing out. It's a constant outpouring, like the water coming out of a spring. The spring mm-hmm. is a source, and there's a constant, unstoppable outflowing
yeah.
of the expression of the truth that comes from
it. Yeah, it comes right
flowing.
Afterwards.
The thought of flowing, outflowing comes yeah. to Jesus.
Yeah, that's what you have right afterwards on your list. So, can you see? Yeah. Now, you may not have remembered it, Don, but you see, the spiritual sense tells you that. You see? Can you see how, therefore, these ideas are natural? They are natural. They are not something made up, because they impel themselves on consciousness the moment we have caught the first right tone. If you have cause, Don says, well, then you must have an outflow. You must have an emanation, you must have an outflow, you must have an issue, you must have a springing force. That comes all afterwards, huh? That's it. You see? That's how we get the tonality of a synonym. Mm-hmm. Good. So we have power here, force, might, huh? Well, can we have power without action? Next is action, Next idea is action. Well, power implies action. All right, we can have potential power, which is not yet energetic power, but it is potentially holding within itself the ability to act. So power, and especially the definition of power, always implies somehow the ability to act. The ability to move. Huh? So we have here, you have here action, yes, and as a secondary idea, movement. What else could we put here if we have action? Give me some action sense that is in the textbook.
Function,
yes. Action, function.
Inaction, overaction.
Oh, they are right, but they are counterfeits, huh? They are right counterfeits, yes. We will have them in the negative, huh? Yeah. And in the positive, what does Mrs. Eddy bring forth as ideas of action? What does she say? Mind, motion of, the motion of mind. Omni-action, yeah.
Rotation
of mind,
revolution.
Revolutions of mind,
perpetual motion.
Perpetual motion, You see, mind is perpetual motion, yes. The locomotion, rotations, revolutions, functions, yeah. These are there too. So you can enlarge your list quite a bit by all these ideas of activities. Mm-hmm.
Is that where volition comes in?
Volition also, you can also have volition. So perhaps that we have on the will, huh? It's more a will action, yeah? Yeah? Okay. We make a break here.